Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We read from Fazali Amal, the virtues of the glorious Quran Sharif. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hadith number 2. Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah Ta'ala says, if anybody finds no time for my zikr and for making dua to me because he is busy with the Quran, I shall give him more than what I give to those who make dua to me. The greatness of the word of Allah over all other words is like the greatness of Allah Ta'ala over the entire creation. As Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Almighty Allah Ta'ala says, if anybody finds no time for my zikr and for making dua to me because he is busy with the Quran, I shall give him more than what I give to those who make dua to me. The greatness of the word of Allah, that is the Quran, over all other words, is like the greatest of Allah Ta'ala over the entire creation. In other words, compared to those who are making dua to Allah, he will surely give some better reward to a person who remains busy memorizing the Quran or learning and understanding it, that he hardly gets time for dua. Hadith number 3. Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu has said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us while we were sitting on the Sufa, a certain spot in Masjid al-Nabawi, and asked if any one of us would like to go to the market of Buthan or Aqiq and fetch from there 2 she-camels of the best quality without doing any sin or cutting of family relations. We replied that every one of us would love to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that going to the masjid and reading or teaching 2 ayat of Quran is much better than 2 she-camels, and reading or teaching 4 ayat is better than 4 she-camels and an equal number of camels, that is, and so on. Sufa. Sufa is the name of a high spot in the masjid of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, where the poor muhajirin used to stay. These muhajirin, those who left Makkah and settled down in Medina, were known as Ashabu Sufa, the people of Sufa. Buthan and Aqiq were the 2 marketplaces for camels near Medina. The camel, especially a she camel having a fat hump, was a favorite of the Arabs. Leave alone 1 or 2 camels, even if someone owns all the 7 continents, he will be forced to leave it at the time of death. However, the reward of 1 ayat will be everlasting. The hadith does not mean that the reward of an ayat can be equal to a camel or 2 camels. Rather, this example was given for our understanding. Actually, the Quran cannot be compared to camels, which will one day die. Once a pious sheikh went to Makkah for Hajj. When he landed at Jeddah, some of his business friends asked him to stay longer in Jeddah so that they could earn more money because of him. At first, the sheikh refused to stay longer, but when they insisted, he asked them how much they hoped to earn. They explained that they hoped to double their money. The sheikh said, "You have taken all this trouble for such a small amount. I cannot miss 1 salah in the haram, where the reward of 1 salah gets multiplied 100,000 times. In fact, we Muslims should think how, for small amounts of money, we sometimes lose great amounts of thawab." Allah Ta'ala protect us. From the Kitab al-Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquette. Islamic social life is based on the following important principles. There are 7 principles. The first was not causing harm to others. The second we read yesterday, fulfillment of rights. And today, number 3, foregoing of one's rights and forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever gives up telling lies in support of a false claim, a palace will be built for him in the outskirts of paradise." Again, whoever gives up telling lies in support of a false claim, a palace will be built for him in the outskirts of paradise, of Jannah, paradise of Jannah. Whoever gives up an argument when he is in the right, a palace will be built for him in the middle of Jannah. And whoever had good behavior, a palace will be built for him in the highest reaches of Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No charity ever decreased any wealth. No person pardoned another without Allah increasing him in honor. And no person humbled himself for the sake of Allah without Allah elevating him. Etiquette of training children. Number 1, playfully do not do any act with a child which may be a danger to life or limb. Example, in playfulness do not fling a child in the air. Do not playfully hold his hands and suspend it from a window, etc. Number two, do not speak shameful things in front of children. Teach them to act with shame, especially when answering the call of nature. Number three, when training children, do not be too strict or too lax. Number four, children should be taught not to eat things people give to them. They should bring such things home and eat in the presence of their parents if they allow. They should never accept gifts without the consent of their parents. Number five, teach them to wash their hands before eating, to eat and drink with their right hands, to cleanse their teeth with a miswak, and the etiquette of relieving themselves. Number six, inculcate in them the habit of eating less so that they are safe from sickness and greed. Number seven, teach them to refrain from asking any of their needs from anyone other than their seniors, like parents or grandparents. Number eight, do not assume that they will automatically acquire manners when they will grow up. Inculcate good manners to them from a tender age. No one learns of his own accord. By reading, they will gain knowledge of good culture, but will still lack the essential training denied to them in childhood. They will always behave unculturally and without thinking, cause difficulty to others. Many people say they are still kids. Remember that habits inculcated in childhood are enduring. Number nine, when your child has wronged someone or is at fault, never act partially. Do not side with your child, especially in his presence. To do so is to corrupt his character. Number ten, be watchful of your children's behavior towards servants and children of servants. Ensure that they never trouble them. On account of their inferior social rank, they may not complain, but they will curse in their hearts. Even if they do not curse, the effect of oppression will be tasted. Number 11, as far as possible, endeavor that they learn under suitably qualified teachers, more so for the elementary books, especially for Islamic knowledge.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه صدق الله العظيم الله تبارك وتعالى send mankind on this earth yeah. what Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام Allah send him what Hawa عليه السلام And then mankind, the progeny of Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam grew and man spread throughout the world. But there was a purpose for coming on this earth. Why we have come here? And that is really one thing that we should ask ourselves. Why am I here in this world? Any person who goes anywhere, he's got an object, a purpose why he goes. So we also have come here. There is definitely a purpose why we are here. And every person, at least this should come in our minds, every human being, that why are we here? So, if a person uses his brains little bit and thinks, then he will think that there must be an object. A person cannot just sit in a car and just drive aimlessly. If he's taking a drive, he's taking it for a drive, he's just driving around. But there is an object. He's going here, he's going there, whatever it is. Now, why are we here? Unfortunately, because we don't apply our brains, we don't think of this, we have also dropped to the level of animals. That we are here just to live, eat, drink, which Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali said, that if a person doesn't realize the object of his life, why he's here, then he works during the day. So, dinku kamana. And then usually people don't have a good breakfast nowadays also. They are on their way rushing to work. And lunch also, they're just having some sandwiches. Many miss their lunch also. But supper normally they still have. So din ko kamana, raat ko khana. So you ate at night. And when you wake up in the morning, you go to the toilet. Or subah ko pakhana. So din ko kamana, raat ko khana, subah ko pakhana. And this just carries on and on and on all the time. So insan kya hua? Bahana banane ki mashin. That's all that we are doing. You are just making waste all the time. That is the sum total of what our life is in this world. And that is what animals do. But animals also, by instinct, they know. They are for a purpose. And whatever their work is which Allah has put for them, and by instinct, that is by Allah Ta'ala putting it in them, they fulfill that. But man, for what man, Allah has created man, not just for this year, there is a much more greater purpose for which Allah Ta'ala has put us here on earth. So if we just don't think, we don't apply, and brains are a great, great gift of Allah Ta'ala. And to use brains, also we learn from ulama, that if you apply your brains in the right things, then your brain develops in that way. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, what kitabs he used to write, what bayans he used to give, and when his wife was asked one time, he must be making lot of mutala at night, he says, I only see him reading two kitabs, Quran Sharif and Munajat-e-Maqbool. I never saw him reading anything else, that's all. But when he started writing, Allahu Akbar. When he started giving bayans, how long bayans? One time, Hazrat gave bayan on the occasion of the nikah of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, from after Juma till Maghrib. They only stopped in between for Asr, and he carried on it. till Maghrib, the bayan. And his bayans used to be so long. But when he used to meet people, he shouldn't remember their names. He didn't remember the names of people. So somebody asked him, Hazrat, how is this that you, what's your knowledge and what's your memory? But names of people you don't remember? He says, I applied my brains in that direction. So therefore, my brains work in that, and it developed in that way. And so names and of people, etc., that it didn't really come in, it doesn't come into me. I used my brain. So for what we use our brains, Allah increases it in that way. And it goes further and further. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when I study my kitabs, and if I don't want to remember it, then still for 15 years it remains in my memory. And when I want to remember it, then up to 30 years. One time, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went and asked Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali a certain masala. So he spoke about it in depth, all the dalail, the counter arguments, everything. Then they asked, Hazrat, did you just study this now? He said, 15 years ago I studied it. Such was their memory. So Allah give us also tawfiq. And we also hear from the people who work in Makatib in other countries, especially in the rural areas, where the minds are clear. No TV is there, no cell phone, nothing. And they got pure, clean minds. How they memorize Quran Sharif also. Very easily. They just memorize very, very easily. So Allah Ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to use and apply our minds in the correct way. That is very, very important. So anyway, we should think that why am I here? Why, for what am I here in this world? If it was also, as our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that if we were here just for the dunya, to build houses, to accumulate dunya, then we shouldn't be asked to leave the dunya one day. For what you work, you want it. So then the proof that this dunya is not our object of life is that one day we have to leave. And how many people leave right in the middle of everything. What construction they are doing, what work they are doing, middle of their career, etc. And suddenly they did. Everything just left like that. So where there is a definite purpose why Allah Ta'ala is put here. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Have we created you just in some tomfoolery, just for nothing, for no purpose? No, that we are going to return to Allah Ta'ala. And for that, we have to apply ourselves. That we have to put our object of life first. That I'm here in this world in order for my akhirah to be made. You know, I have to go and I'm using all Allah's ni'mat here. And so if a person, non-Muslim, doesn't acknowledge a non-believer, he doesn't acknowledge that all these ni'mats that we are using are from Allah Ta'ala. But we are using all these ni'mats. Everyone is using, and they are not man-made gifts of Allah Ta'ala. Other things we might use, which is also from Allah Ta'ala, machines, products of machines, etc. But that also is actually from Allah Ta'ala, just outwardly. But if man looks within himself, it's no man-made. Man himself is not man-made. Other things are man-made. But in our eyes, no man-made eyes. Our nose, our ears, all these things, nobody, none of us made this. Even if it is the father is a eye specialist, but he also can't make eyes. He can't make eyes for anyone. A heart specialist, cardiologist, he can't make a heart. And he can't make the heart work also. That is only the work of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So anyway, so our object of life, first we have to establish that. And if Allah Ta'ala give us that, then we have achieved a very great thing. That I'm here in this world, not only for akhirat, before that, for the pleasure of Allah. To please Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That is why I am here in this world, to seek the pleasure of Allah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala. How will my Maker and Creator be happy with me? And whatever we do, then we do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now, if we establish that in our mind, and now I have to please Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, now how are we going to please Allah Ta'ala? If we apply ourselves, there are various sources of knowledge. One is our five senses, hearing, tasting, smelling, etc., seeing, all this, touch. These are our five senses. But that a person does a lot, and he can perceive and understand a lot of things. But how will he perceive Allah Ta'ala? Perhaps the most he can reach, perhaps with the senses also, that the existence of Allah Ta'ala. But more than that, what does Allah want from me? With our senses, we don't see Allah Ta'ala, we don't hear Allah Ta'ala telling us, so our senses will fail us. They can only take us a little bit, and then they will fail us. More than that, Allah gave us our brain. And all our senses are also connected to the brain. The brains are when we hear also, it is all the sound waves that go, and what a ajeeb system it is, and the brain finally analyzes it. And if we have to think of that also, we just can't end of thinking of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. As I'm speaking now, 1 minute, how many words are flowing out? Uh-huh. And they are reaching how many ears? And almost instantly, it's going into the ears, the airwaves are carrying it, and then it's going into the ears, and then it is all deciphered and whatever. It's ajeeb how it works. And the brain works it out now. And a 2-year-old child who doesn't stop blabbering all the time, how much he talks all the time. All this, and then for the talking, like those who have studied the Tajweed, then to pronounce one letter, then how you have to move your tongue here, there, where it must touch, all those things. So when we are speaking, you say, for example, Zahaba, 3 alphabets. Now three alphabets, how it works so fast. And when you are trained, you don't think anymore that this has to go there, this has to go there, this has to go there, etc. For example, the letter P in English. After using all the technical terms to explain how it is pronounced, will take you 2 full step pages. And that is just one letter. And using the technical terms, a person who doesn't understand that, then perhaps a whole book you will have to write on how to just the letter P is pronounced. And then we are talking all the time. So what is the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? And then the brains, Allah Ta'ala has given man brains much more than animals. Animals also have brains. Everything has got life. But things we call dead, inanimate objects, They also have got life. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There isn't a thing, but it is singing the praises of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Whether it's trees, whether it's stones, whether it's the water, whatever it is, everything has got, but so minimal life. So we say it's an inanimate object. Or animals also. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, the birds that they must be, they talk to one another. And he says, definitely they speak to one another. They understand their language also. So everything has got life in it. But man whom Allah Ta'ala has given his brains are much more. The most Allah Ta'ala has given man brains. And it is this man that does what things he has done with this Allah-given brain. It is not his own brain, Allah-given. So with that, he has to perceive the existence of Allah Ta'ala and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah Ali says, if a person was born in a place and no Nabi came to him, nobody gave him the message of the oneness of Allah, existence of Allah Ta'ala, but he will be questioned about the existence of Allah Ta'ala. Because that capability Allah has put into a person, that a person thinks that how everything has happened in this world, how it is carrying on, but we don't apply ourselves. We apply ourselves in other things very much. In fact, we will say, you ask an engineer of a certain subject, he will speak to you. Now you ask him about shoemaking. He doesn't know. So his brains are applied there. His brains are not applied here. So the greatest thing where we have to apply our brains is why we are here. And that is to realize the existence of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Now to that extent we could get. Further we cannot get. So then for that purpose Allah Ta'ala send the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam also, they also did not recognize Allah Ta'ala when they were not Anbiya. Who Allah is, then Allah Ta'ala, with their brains and their senses, they perceived that there is Allah. He is one. But all the details that they did not know. Then Allah Ta'ala revealed the kitabs. That is the important thing. And these kitabs, the last of which, Quran-e-Pak. This is that honorable, great kitab which Allah Ta'ala has revealed. And this was to tell man his purpose of life also. And open up everything, make it manifest for man. Kitabum Mubin makes it very clear and open. That how we have to please Allah Ta'ala. How we going to reach Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Who is Allah Ta'ala. The Asma'ul Husna. All the qualities of Allah Ta'ala. And what our purpose of life is. How we came into existence. All that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has given it to us in the Quran Sharif. So this is that kitab which Allah Ta'ala says, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. This is that month, the month of Ramadan, in which Allah Ta'ala had revealed the Qur'an Sharif. Unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala revealed this Qur'an Sharif. Ulama write that from the Lohe Mahfuz to the first sky, the lowest sky, it was the night of power, light of Qadr, that Allah revealed the whole Qur'an. And the Quran Sharif is that kitab that from there, bit by bit, as the occasion came, over 23 years, Allah Ta'ala completed the revelation of the Quran Sharif. So from there we can understand what a great ni'mat the Quran Sharif is, what a great blessing. If a person is lost somewhere, he doesn't know, and somebody gives him directions now, how you must go, and you get to your place easily. You just drive and you get to your place. You'll appreciate it so much. And if you had to get to a place where on the one side there is just all torture, there is trouble, there is punishment, and on the other side there is just enjoyment and pleasure, and you've got directions to take you how to save yourself from all this punishment and all this torture and all this worst type of things, and you could go into the place of great bliss and eternity. forever and ever. Jannat will be that place that Allahu Akbar. A person won't have to worry about anything whatsoever. Yeah, we want to travel, we have to make a booking, we need a passport, we need a visa, so many things. You just want a nice garden, you have to work on it. Now all the time you have to maintain the garden for your house. One person very long time ago said, many people, they wish I can get one piece of land, I can build my house. He says, then somehow they managed to get that. When you got your land, he says, now your work is not over. Now it has started. Already you are going to pay for the basics of your services, your taxes. In Jannat, no payment, no. And yeah, how many times they make mistakes and what the overcharge, how much they charge you. You're going to, what queues you have to wait. They have nothing of the sort. Everything ready-made, ready-found. Allahu Akbar. So what a wonderful place. But that comes afterwards. Allah has given us this kitab, the Quran-i-Mubeen, to direct us towards Allah Ta'ala, to take us towards Allah Ta'ala. And this is that month in which Allah has revealed it, which shows also that how great this month is. And in fact, almost all of Allah's heavenly kitabs were revealed in this month here. So what a great month it is. And then the Quran Pak, which is the word of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala revealed it also in this month. And what a night it was revealed in. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We had revealed it in the night of power. That what a great night that is. May Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate this month also, and then to appreciate that night also, and to appreciate the Quran Sharif also. So this is the great value of the Quran Sharif. If Allah Ta'ala puts it into our hearts that we can understand, and alhamdulillah, every day, every morning we have not a complete explanation, but great explanation of the Quran Sharif, the para that we read at night, what we read, it is explained to us. So we must apply ourselves in these things. And on our own also, the rights of the Quran Sharif, inshallah, gradually we will discuss it. But while we are here, we should try and learn the Quran Sharif also and make it our mission of life. On which our Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, he says that people encourage a lot of other knowledge, education, going to various places, gaining this education, that education, that education, that education. But he says it must never be at the cost of the Quran Sharif. The first and foremost thing that we have to learn, and throughout our life that we have to give importance to, is the Quran Sharif. This is that great kitab that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. May Allah Ta'ala make it a reality in our lives. So Allah has blessed us with this kitab. It has come in this honorable month. What a great visitor this month is. And in this month, what another great visitor it has brought with it. That is the Quran Sharif. So this is that kitab that we have to learn, that we have to recite it, we have to practice upon it, and we must devote ourselves to the Quran Sharif. It should be continuously in our lives, the Quran Pak. And whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed, which alhamdulillah, there are many cases like that. Those people who have learned the Quran and learned it properly, how much of recitation, how much of practice on the Quran Sharif, how much of the propagation of the Quran Sharif. So this is a great, great, great month also, a great kitab which has come in a great night also. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand these things. And then to make our effort accordingly also. So this Quran Pak, it has come that Allah Ta'ala wrapped it in 1,000 layers of noor. Then it was possible for us to handle this kitab Sharif. Like for example, many of the atar that we use, it is concentrated. Many other things, juices also, many things are concentrated. Now if you just drink the concentrate like that, you will destroy yourself. You have to mix it with certain 5 parts of water, 10 parts of water, many things. You have to mix it. So the Quran Sharif also, Allah Ta'ala put it in 1,000 layers of noor. then it's possible for us. Otherwise, the Quran, the Kalamullah Sharif, and which is Qadim, which has been since ever. So you see, we see also the knowledge of Allah, which is also Qadim, which is forever. Allah knew exactly what is going to happen. And the Quran Sharif, which is also Qadim, everything is recorded in the Quran Sharif. And how it was revealed on the various occasions as they unfolded, Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayats also according to those occasions. So this is that great kitab that we have today in our hands. And we should appreciate it very, very much. There are many people in the world, our Quran Sharifs we have, perhaps there are so many in our houses, here in the masajid there are, maybe somebody hasn't even touched the Quran, so many there are. But there are other places where they haven't seen a Quran Sharif. Now, presently in the world, there are those places, they haven't seen the Quran Sharif. They haven't got a copy of the Quran Sharif, they haven't seen the Quran Sharif. And that is also one great service. Wherever we know and we can send copies and they reach there properly, that will be also a great, great service. And many people who are making the effort of the makatib, where they were various in the rural areas, where and where, in Africa, in Asia, in the whole world, where people will learn the Quran Sharif, where we learn our GPS. How to reach Allah Ta'ala, how to find the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, how to stay away from the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. He narazgi jiski dozakh se barkar, whose displeasure is worse than the fire of Jahannam. That Allah, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali wrote at one time, he says, he was giving bayan and Allah put it in his heart at that time, that it comes, that the non-believers will be deceivers, will be deprived of seeing Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah also. So he says that this is proof that how beautiful, how beloved Allah Ta'ala is. And in the Ummat and the Jannatis, there will be those people who will see Allah whenever they want to. Others will see Allah morning and evening. Others will see once a week, once a month, once a year. And once, perhaps only in their lifetime. And whoever will see Allah Ta'ala, at that time they will completely forget Jannat. That even the existence of Jannat they will forget. And may Allah Ta'ala make it, like Hazrat, it is famous about Hazrat Rabia Basariya, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, rahmatullah alayha, that she said that, "Oh Allah, if I worship you for Jannat, then deprive me of Jannat. And if I worship you to save myself from Jahannam, throw me into Jahannam. But if I worship you for your pleasure, don't deprive me of yourself." So Allah is that being. May Allah bring it into us that whatever we do for the pleasure of Allah. And we go out of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says that if you have to give your life to stay yourself, your nafs is there. It's going to pull you to haram. It's going to pull you to all the temptations. Everything is going to pull you. But tell your nafs, even if I have to give my life, but I'll give it, but I won't displease Allah. I won't displease Allah. Hazrat's famous dua said, "Oh Allah, not for one second let us displease you. Let us displease you. Let us displease you. May Allah save us. May Allah protect us." So this is the object. And this the Quran Sharif has illustrated. And this kitab is with us here. We have got this kitab here. And if a person has got a computer, we will understand easy on those terms. One engineer told me that he went and he wanted to buy the programs for his engineering. So they wanted some 80,000 rands. He said, "I haven't got that kind of money." When he came home, they phoned. They said, "Okay, we will give it to you." He said, "I got 10,000. But we won't teach you how it works. That you have to do it yourself." And he worked it out all on his own. And everything. Now that computer which is there, but if you can't work on it, you don't know how to work it, it's there, it's got everything, the software, everything, but you don't know how to work it, it's useless. The Quran Sharif is with us, but if we don't take the benefit of the Quran Sharif, so Allah has given us this great kitab, and this is a month of inspiration to take from the Quran Sharif. MashaAllah, as Maulana Ridwan Sahib explains, how he opens up and what the Quran Sharif and what uloom and what ma'arif there is in the Quran, the kalam of Allah, and how much a person applies himself, what won't he get? May Allah Ta'ala let us appreciate this month, the Quran Sharif, and what we are generally required to recite the Quran Sharif. Let us not fail in that. Read it as much as we can. In everything of the Quran, there is barakah, and there is noor, and there is rahmah. Whether we just love the Quran Sharif, we respect the Quran Sharif, everything has got great, great blessing. And a person who takes the full benefit of Quran Sharif, what to say of that person? May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala let us appreciate this great gift that Allah Ta'ala has given us.